Democritus was a 5th century B.C. and 4th century B.C. philosopher who gave us the atomic theory. You have to understand, this is an ancient Greece, 2,500 years ago, no electron microscope, no physics as we know of, and this guy says that the universe began as a result of atoms randomly colliding to form larger bodies, okay? This philosophy was now, so one of my patients' name, I'll call him Chester, went back to a past life at the time of Democritus, where he was a kind of a philosopher student, very wealthy, just traveling around, and he met Democritus in Egypt, actually, and they traveled around the Mediterranean and Middle East and eventually settled back into Thrace or Greece, where Democritus was from. But prior to coming back to Greece, Harpagos was the name of my patient in the past life, he witnesses Democritus after dinner one day taking a little walk, and all of a sudden this white beam of light elevates Democritus into a UFO. Harpagus stands there and says, "What is going on here?" Waits for several hours. The beam of light brings back Democritus to the earth. So he says, "What did you just do?" He says, "I have complete memories of everything that happened." He describes a time traveler, interaction with him, where he's discussing and giving him all this information about the atomic theory. Democritus eventually comes back to Greece and invites Harpagos, who is his friend, even though Harpagos is very jealous of him. And he becomes a very famous speaker in Greece, but Harpagos thinks he's a phony and a con artist because he got all his information from, he was cheating, if you will, right, according to Harpagos. So Harpagos confronts him and he says, "Look, leave me alone. I'm doing my thing and there's nothing you can do about it." And he says, "Yes, there is. I'm going to expose you to the society here, and I'm going to do that, like, at your next meeting." And as he's about to do that, all of a sudden, a few hours before this big event that Democritus has given his public square kind of talk, a man in black comes to Harpagos' home, places him in suspended animation. Shortly afterwards, Harpagos is transported to a nearby lake and drowned.
No.
Okay? Yes. Now you're talking about men in black activity. He was going to expose Democritus.
Now, how do you know this?
Well, this is from, of course, the patient is describing this in trance, and this
okay,
you understand? And this is then when you go into the fifth dimension and when you do what's called a karmic overview, a superconscious mind tap, if you will, then you can actually do an overview. It's almost like looking at a network monitor and watching all the football games at one time here. You can see the big picture, not just your own subjective experience in that past life. So now my patient, the former Harpagos, was killed to keep silent so he wouldn't expose, not so much, they weren't worried about Democritus' reputation, they were worried about the idea of exposure as to the other elements of the ETs, if you will, and therefore, you know, you don't see a lot of ancient people writing about extraterrestrials by saying, "Here's my conversation with the Zeta Reticuli last week." I mean, you know, they're hidden. They're never described, although the Bible has many of them. The Old Testament has several examples, Ezekiel and others, of course, as you know. But that's considered to be religious scripture, and people don't tend to knock that a whole lot as much as they would secular literature. So
well, these men in black, though, Bruce, must have some kind of tracking device. How would they know that someone is about ready to do whatever they were doing?
Well, as I told you, unless you've been on the same geographical location, same time era location for 5 years, you would be a timeliner then. They have, think of a tricorder device. I have not seen this device. It's just been described to me by Traxler and others. They have this device that will sense any presence of a person from a different century in that particular location. So they will trace them. So he was obviously, he was traced not because of that so much. He was traced because he was making a lot of trouble for Democritus, and he was going to expose as to why he was going to make that trouble. And that was the things that the government types. Remember, there are four kinds of men in black. We should discuss that very quickly. You have the classic Air Force type, the kind, you know, the ones that you see in all the bad movies.
Right.
Then you have what's called the Black Brotherhood, as we describe, those lower astral entities, the ones that you're going to be fighting in a few hundred years, in big time. Then we have the classic ETs from other planets who are from the same time era, but they're the ones that do these brilliant things but can't use a ballpoint pen, you know, that kind of story. And then, of course, there is those are the ones you wrote about or you hear about in the 50s and 60s books about Men in Black. And then you have the futuristic time travelers who are Men in Black, who are not part of a typical team. They come back isolated by themselves as a way of monitoring and preventing the information from being disseminated until they feel the people are ready for it. And obviously they don't feel we're ready for it in this century or in centuries past, because there's been a lot of people in morgues as a result of Men in Black activity.
Who sanctions these Men in Black?
Oh, they're government sanctioned. I mean, you know, it's like, our government didn't have a policy for assassination, but if you look at the history of South America in the 50s and 60s, you see our CIA was involved with a few people getting their heads popped, you know. I mean, so it's an unofficial policy, but it's been around for like a real long time.
And why don't they want us to know that there are time travelers?
Well, why doesn't the government want it to know about Roswell and other examples? They simply are paranoid in the sense that they feel it's going to cause a public panic, number one. Number two, I do feel there's a financial reason. They want to keep the idea that, you know, we're responsible for your beautiful cars and homes and satellite dishes and email, not some ET or some time traveler. So pay your taxes and keep your mouth shut and let the ball keep on rolling, so to speak. You know, it's a matter of power and control.
What kind of technology did they use?
Well, here's what time travelers do. First of all, the wormhole linear accelerator, or what is known as the WLA, is the device that enlarges a wormhole to enlarge large enough so that a ship with a time travel team can come through. Now, this is different than the Thorne model. Kip Thorne from Caltech in Pasadena does describe the model of saying that, you know, you can go back in time, but never before when the device was developed. That's true today by our technology, but it is not true by the year 3050 when Tatos develops the wormhole linear accelerator. When you go back in time, if you don't know what you're doing, then you can cause what's called ripple points or tears in the fabric of space-time. That's very serious. So there's a device called the Time Sequence Nullification Unit, or TSNU, which uses exotic matter, remember that's necessary for time travel via the wormhole linear accelerator, and this will repair, if you will, ripples that are created in the corridors of hyperspace. If you don't do that, you're going to have some major problems with the space-time continuum. Time travelers also have what's called a morphogenic cell regulator, MCR, as I call it. It renders the time traveler invisible on the three-dimensional world by accelerating the frequency, vibration, or rate of their soul's energy.
Can they still bump into him, or is he...
No, he'll go right through you like a ghost.
He will, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
But also, it also changes their appearance. So in other words, if they're on the Earth plane, you can see them. Because of this morphogenic cell regulator, they can change their appearance and morph themselves to look like anyone they want to look like. They can change their DNA and fingerprints. So a test on them would show them to be the person that they're masquerading to be. How's that for a little bit of a Beretta here, okay? They also have something called an alpha neuroimager, or an ANI, which allows you to see a people's thoughts on a monitor while you're interrogating them. So no possibility of lying to a time traveler, okay?
Huh.
They communicate with their century supervisors. Let's say you're from the 35th century and you want to communicate with Traxler on the 21st century, let's say here today. They have what's called a hologram resonator, which is a device that almost looks like you as Dexter Monterey. It shows a hologram of the person communicating with you, and they can communicate from several thousand years into the future or into the past by using this device.
Now, these come to you from people under hypnosis, or is this comes to you when you're in your exercise trance state?
Well, the details of these technology, what I described earlier came from my patients, and I corroborated it. This now comes from communications with time travelers such as Traxler and the 8 or 9 other gentlemen that I've been able to meet, which I describe on my website. There's a homepage, there's an article called Time Travelers I Have Met,